And folks, how are you?
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Gene coming to you on a Tuesday evening. Well, it's been a beautiful day here in Tennessee. Well, Tennessee's beautiful anyway. Green grass, high trees, luscious forest. I sound like I'm in love with Tennessee. Well, I'm not in love with it, but I do like it. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the living word. The word was with God and was made flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. As you can probably tell by my words, I love the Lord with all my heart. I love the Bible. I love everything it stands for. And I have to declare it. A lot of people doesn't believe it. They're the ones going to be sorry when the day comes and all creation will bow before Jesus. I read the verse out of John 1:14. It's a great verse that declares the incarnation, declaring to us that the Creator of all things, the eternal Word of God, actually became a man, made flesh. Since this verse follows the verses unequivocally refers to Jesus Christ, there's no legitimate escape, though many have tried, from the great truth that the man called Jesus of Nazareth was the great God and Creator, as well as perfect man becoming redeeming Savior. Furthermore, it has assured human flesh for whatever, while still remaining fully God, is Emmanuel, God with us. Speaking of flesh, talk to you a minute about a story that everybody knows. But maybe it appeals to some people because, well, let me read it. Let me tell you about it. They repeated to him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with men, and he burned with anger. He was jealous of him. I'm the oldest and the best looking and have everything going on. Why are you talking like this? Why have you come down here? David came down to visit his brothers because the God had told him to come in, because Jesse had told him to come down and bring bread and all the things that soldiers like. And while he was there, standing on the hillside, his brother jumped on him. With whom did you leave these few sheep in the wilderness? Now I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. Come down only to watch the battle. But for a young man, it would be exciting to watch the battle. It's only have to get involved in it. David said to his brother, older brother, now what have I done? Can I even speak? Then he turned away to someone else about the same matter, and the man asked him, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul, the king, sent for him. David at that time had played some on his instrument of music, because Saul was about half crazy. And he didn't recognize David. But David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this stupid Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, wait a minute. You're not able to go against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. He's been a warrior since his youth. What in the world was David? David's a young man. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and bear came out and carried off the sheep in the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. Let me tell you something, folks. This young man must have had a great audience with Christ, with God. How many of you out there could strike a bear or strike a lion and kill it? You know, he had an instrument that he did this with. He had a sling with small rocks. That sling was like a 22 rifle or a 44 Magnum. Because once in a whirl, it run his head and let the stone go. It went through the lion in the head and the bear in the head. And give David the opportunity to plunge a knife into him and kill him. Saul was amazed. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he rescued me from the hand of this Philistine. Well, Saul was truly amazed. Go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a colored armor on him, and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around, but because he was not used to them, and was stumbling and falling everywhere. And Saul was much bigger than David, and all this stuff was too big for him. He said, I can't take these things, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took him off. He's dressed in his carrying clothes, took his little staff in his hand, chose five small stones from the stream. Now, I want to remind you, folks, when David was taking these small stones with his sling, don't get me wrong, this guy had practiced many, many hours out there in the wilderness by himself taking care of the sheep. This guy could put a stone within an inch of anything he chose. He could kill a bird as it's flying through the air. He could kill a bear. He could kill a lion. I mean, it's a dangerous weapon. Now, you stop and think about this sling and this stone and the true archer of his hand. And then put the Lord with him, and he's unstoppable. So here he was, young David. I would say he's about 18 years old. And with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. I'm going to give you a whipping of your life and kill you. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and the wild animal. But, you know, young David, he was not scared. I don't know how he could be scared. I mean, you face a tiger and you face a lion or you face a bear. I mean, you know, there comes a time when you're pretty good. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. And here's the secret. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You're going to pay the price for life. Just remember this. This day, the Lord will deliver you in my hand, and I'll strike you down, and I'm going to cut your head off. And David was not scared. He knew what he could do with that sling and the stone. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down, and I'll cut your head off. This very day, I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. all those gathered here will know that there that is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved. The battle is the Lord, and He will give you all in your in our hands. Don't you know that wrinkle the line? The Philistine moved closer to attack them. What did David do? You think he stepped back a few steps and went sideways this way and tried to get over the line? No. You know, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, whirled it around his head, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead. He fell face down on the ground, like he'd been shot with a .44 Magnum. You know what hit him? I mean, here's a little stone thrown by a little boy and hit him in the head, and he fell face down on the ground. Now, you got to understand that David had much practice with it. He knew he could sling the sling and sling the stone. And it sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand and struck kill him. You know, David ran over and stood over him and took hold of Philistine's sword and withdrew it from the sheath after he had killed him. And he cut his head off with his sword, which he had promised to do. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. The men of Israel surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath, to the gates of Ekron. And their dead was strewed along the Sharon road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites turned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered the camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem and put the Philistine's weapon in his own tent. Now Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine. He said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As sure as you live, your majesty, I don't know." King said, "Find out whose son this young man is." You know, in that time of history, the father is most important. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. But David was still holding the Philistine's head. I can see now by the hair of the head he gray, this young boy. David said, "I'm the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem." You know, we just celebrated Memorial Day. I had a 17-year-old brother, a young Marine. He had just turned 18, and he went in battle against the Japanese, Solomon Island. There was 28 men hunkered down on the beach, taking withering fire from machine guns. And the chance that everyone on the beach slaughtered and killed. You know, my young brother, 18 years old now, a Marine. I love the Marine. Slithered across the sand on his belly, and he crept to within inches, feet of this machine gun nest with a Japanese withering fire. And he turned and he took his little handgun, his little gun, and he slaughtered the Japanese right there in their bunker. But in return for his victory, he was killed They cut him in half before he died. He finished the machine gun nest off and saved those 28 Marines on the beach. And he was rewarded with all kinds of stars, medals, but he died there. Son of Lord Benjamin Abbott, it's in heaven, I hope. He accepted Christ in his, on his deathbed or there before he died, or maybe he had been before he went into service. I don't know. Did he accept Christ? I know Christ took him to heaven. But there was David standing in front of the Saul with this ugly Goliath's head in his hand. He probably had it by the hair of the head. Blood still dripping out of it. He said, I am the son of the servant Jesse of Bethlehem. You know, David goes on to be a great king, man after God's own heart. And God gave him a covenant of Israel. He rewarded him with all kinds of things later in life. But he was still a human being. He made mistakes. He paid for it. His people paid for his mistake. But God lives with us. He indwells us, and he'll give you the strength and the character if you but ask for it in time of need. But now remember this, and what everybody said. David was a skilled young man with a sling. And the sting of drinking and cursing and wild women, he stayed in the wilderness with his sheep. And I believe with all my heart, he practiced day and night with his sling. And he was scared of no one because the sling was so powerful. And if you can picture what it is, because it was prepared, the stone sucking in the last part, and he fell dead. With the help of God, and the strength of God, and preparedness of David, the story ends with standing in front of Saul with the ugly Goliath's head in his hand. And he said, I'm the son of your servant, Jesse, I bet. Folks, tonight, you can receive God. You can talk with God. You can believe God. But God is a wonderful thing. God will save your soul. You have to have faith that Christ came to this earth, as I said before. He became all man, all and all God, and he died on the cross for you. Excuse me. He died on the cross for you, and tonight, if you believe that death, it's your death. And you have faith in Christ. And he died for you. He saved you, and he saved me, and people around me. I pray for you tonight, and I ask you if you have a question in your mind, or what I've said to you, talk to you about, 865-803-7334. I'm here day and night. That's the cell phone. I'm on Facebook, Gene Abbott, Facebook. You can text me. You can call me, and I'd love to talk to you. This afternoon or this evening, in this beautiful state of Tennessee, I say good night and God bless you. And I hope you will accept Christ as your Savior. Thank you and good night.